pray. We're going to go through the third. It won't take long to do this. I want to finish up last week's. As I said a moment ago, the first one was the meaning of being a living sacrifice. The second point was being the motivation of being a living sacrifice. And the one we just barely got started on it, was the method of being a living sacrifice. How do we present our bodies a living sacrifice? Well, basically, the thing that we do is to surrender our life to the Lord and let Him be the one that helps us and teaches us and trains us and is with us. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm thankful for that. And so what the difference between surrender and trusting Christ for salvation is the very fact that we need to put our faith and trust in Him alone for salvation. Now, it's a specific event. That's the method of being a living sacrifice. A specific event. It's not something just fly by night. It's really what we're supposed to do. It's specific. If we have something that's specific, it means that we're very involved in what it's talking about. And that's what this is talking about. So when we present the gospel to different people, we need to help them to come across and ask Jesus to be their Savior. And it's the only way sometimes people can do that is by hearing it. In my own life, I think I said last week, but I did not hear that terminology of being born again or being saved. Never heard those words until I was a senior in high school and went to a Baptist church, to a Baptist rally, actually, and heard the fact, and I didn't understand what they were talking about until everything took place, and then I began to, the preacher came by and talked to us, and he talked to me about being saved, and I said, well, do you mean, did I let Jesus come into my heart? Did I ask Him to? And he said, yes, that's what you do. And I said, well, that's what I did at the rally the other night, except I didn't go forward. They had a whole bunch of young people up there, and the evangelist was talking to them out loud, and what he said to them I heard, and I did the same thing in my seat because I didn't know what it meant to go forward. But I did afterwards, and I joined that church. And the only thing about a GERB church, boy, they question you. You have to wait a while before they'll baptize you. In that particular church, you know, they just had to be sure that you were going to be, you meant what you said, did what you said. And so about 2 months after that, I got baptized, and I've been a Baptist ever since. So it's a wonderful thing to do that. Now, there's a lot of people that don't understand about being saved. As I said a moment ago, it's a one-time event. There are people, you'll talk to people, and they say they got saved over and over. Well, if they were drowning and somebody pulled them out of the water a few times, I guess they got saved over and over. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about salvation. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what does He give us? Everlasting life. Now, we may get off the traces and we're going to lose our rewards, and we're not going to have those things that we would desire when we get to heaven, but we can repent of getting away from God and getting back into fellowship with God. And He forgives us and so forth. But just like we need to be to have a specific day or trust for salvation, we should have a specific day that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. So some people do that at the very onset. They get saved, and then they present themselves to God, and they say, we're going to be a good Christian from now on. And some people just get saved, make a profession of faith, and it takes them a while to get in the traces. And it didn't do me that long because, man, I tell you what, I was scared to death when I went to Sunday school because they asked the kids in the class, questions. And I hope they didn't ask me because I didn't have any answers. But that was when it first took place. And then when we went in the prayer room, the girls went in one room, the boys went in another, and they prayed. And I thought, what am I going to say? All I know is now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, and that's about all only prayer I knew. We didn't say the blessing at the table. We didn't, you know, Mama was a Lutheran too, and so on. And that doesn't mean that all Lutherans don't do that. But I'm simply saying I didn't hear any of that. But I'm glad that when I went to that Baptist church, it didn't take long for me to get involved in doing that. So we need to consider that a specific day and a specific time that we trusted Christ as our Savior is something we need to remember. And it was the 28th of August, 1953. I had to close my eyes to see it, but that's when it was. I was going into my senior year. And the only sad thing about all of that was that my daddy was not a Christian. And he claimed to be a Lutheran. He never went to church. He took me and Mom and dropped us off. And he had an accident just about a month or so. The preacher had talked to him one time. And just about a month after I got saved, my daddy got killed in an accident. He repaired elevators all over the state of Ohio, and he was 50 years old. And he went in the pit of an elevator to work on it, and it was in a dairy, and they had a refrigeration system that backed up in that pit, and it was leaking, and he inhaled all those fumes and died that night. And so that was a sad thing. We can't go back and do anything about it. But unless he did something when he was a child that I didn't know about, but I'd never heard anything about it. All I'd heard about the Lord Jesus Christ with my daddy was cussing. That's what he used to cuss. And I found out later, and I don't know why I'm used to telling this, I might as well finish it. But I found out later when he was little bitty, his kin folks would give him pennies to cuss when he was 2 and 3 years old. And he cussed all his life. And he was a good daddy otherwise, and strict on me and all that sort of thing. But if you've trusted in Christ, try to remember about your salvation, about the time you were saved. It doesn't have to be the moment, the hour, the day, even the month. But if you can't remember, if a person can't remember, I shouldn't say you, I think you all are saved, as far as I know. But people, if we were having a big congregation and people coming in, I would ask them, do you remember when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Because if you didn't remember that you ever got saved, there's a possibility you might not have. And so that's sometimes we have to deal with our friends that way. But then secondly, B, it's a significant event. It was a specific event. Now significant event. The greatest day in a Christian's life is the day that they trust Christ as their Savior. And I gave the illustration. It says now, give the illustration. Well, I already did. I just told you already of all about me. But there's many times that things don't seem to go right and they seem to go wrong, but thank the Lord we can trust in the Lord with all of our heart. The Lord will be with us the whole time. If you have that in your notes there, I think you do. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. It's a promise to claim after surrendering our life to the Lord. Deuteronomy 31:6 said, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so the Lord wants us not to be fearful about what people might say or do or all that sort of thing. The devil will flee from us if we resist him. James chapter 4 and verse 7 said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Push him away. Say, get behind me, Satan, whatever you want to say. And he will flee from you. Satan can't stand Christians. And if Christians are Christians in His presence, He's going to leave. He's got to get out of there. Because but if He can get a Christian to backslide, He's tickled to death. If He can get someone to keep from being saved, He's tickled to death. But the devil knows his doom. Hell is a place prepared for the devil and his angels and the people that do not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The devil will flee from us if we resist him. And so that's what we have to do. And that, and of course, we've been Christians a long time and we understand that. But somebody that just gets saved need to know that. The Lord will always provide a way for us to be victorious in our life for the Lord and over temptation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10:13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." When we're tempted just like everybody else is tempted. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." So I like those words, "above that you're able." God is from above, and God is making it possible for us to say no to the devil or to the things that are wrong and so forth. By presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, we surrender our life to Christ. We say, "Lord, here am I. Use me. Send me. Help me. Be with me." It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be a missionary when we surrender our life to Christ, or be a preacher, or even a Sunday school teacher necessarily. But we just need to realize that we surrender our life to Him, and we want Him. We want to do whatever He asks us to do. Sometimes it may be a doctor. Sometimes it may be a garbage man. You know, they make money too when they get their paycheck. Whatever it is, we need to do it with spizzorinctum. You all know what that word means? It means you do your job well, and you may get a promotion. I mean, you may be able, if you're the garbage man, you may be the guy sitting behind the desk telling somebody else to do it. I don't know, or driving the truck and not have to do anything else. But God just wants us to surrender our life to Him. That's what surrender means, give up. Yourself. Surrender. If you were, sometimes people are just surrender. Surrender to doing something that they didn't want to do to start with, or they didn't think they could do. And there's a lot of times Christians are afraid to do anything. I know you wouldn't know it now, but when I first got saved, I was afraid to say anything. I was afraid I'd say the wrong thing. I was kind of just, I never did say a lot. Now I make up for it. But anyway, God wants us to surrender to Him and let Him know that we're willing to do anything He calls us to do and wants us to do and wants us to be. And so it's a matter of being obedient wherever we may be to the Lord. I've seen people, mostly in my younger days, that, boy, they could put on a, man, you'd think they were the best Christian in the world at church. But outside, they told dirty stories, they got around the wrong people, and all that sort of thing. And that's not the way it is supposed to be. What it means is that when we're a Christian, when we become a Christian, it means Christ-like and so forth. Now, let me just close up this particular chapter, and we'll get into the new one for today, and we may not finish it either. But the Declaration of Independence guarantees Americans the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As Americans, we have freedom to enjoy life, seek satisfaction. Yet according to the Harris poll, only one out of every three Americans consider themselves to be very happy. According to Time magazine, self-improvement products and services are $10 billion industry, in spite of how much effort Americans put into finding happiness, because they are simply just not satisfied. They're not happy. All of us have been around people that just aren't happy. That just doesn't seem like anything works for them or goes for them. And it may be because they're not saved. It could be because they're not reading their Bible and praying. It could be because they have problems at home or problems at work or problems at school if they're teenagers and whatever it might be. But we need to yield ourselves to the Lord. And therefore, He will help us. We may do it step by step. But the Christian can find true satisfaction in life by being surrendered to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants us to follow in His. He wants us to let Him lead us and guide us. Total sacrifice brings total satisfaction. And we present our bodies a living sacrifice. God's able to take care of any situation. You know, there's situations sometimes we have and we can't do it. But with God, all things are possible. So, anyway, that's today. That was last week's, the finishing up of last week's lesson. Now we want you to turn to this week's lesson. Let me get over here to it in the student book, and we'll get started. The key verse in our lesson today is Romans 12:2. The verse for last week was Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this one is, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've got underlined, be not conformed, be ye transformed. And then it talks about prove what that is good. I got good and acceptable and perfect and will of God underlined in my notes here. And so, you know, it's a wonderful thing to know that our life is transformed into a life of being usable for the Lord. At the moment of our salvation, God begins to work sanctification in our lives. And He works in us to transform us to be like Him. It's an inside event. He touches our heart, and we read His Word and all that sort of thing. And so He works in our hearts and minds. The devil will fight to try to retain us, but he is a loser. I want you to know, all of us have been in sports or something or other, and we've seen people who were losers. And they were losers because they wanted to be losers. They kind of, you know, make people feel sorry for them when they're a loser. But, you know, the thing is, we're winners with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're committed to letting God conform us unto His image. We want to be like Him. As much like Him as we possibly can. I know we can't be 100% like Him because we're human beings down here on earth. And you know who made it that way? Adam and Eve. Or should I say Eve and Adam. She's the one that got it going and he's the one that finished it. So it's his fault. Anyway, he could have said, get behind me, Eve, and Lord, give me another mate that's not going to do that. But that isn't how it works. And so we're living in a world that is foolish and is sinful and all those sorts of things. But one of these days as a Christian, we'll go higher. Or the Lord will come take us out, whatever it might be. And it's going to be a wonderful thing. So at the end of this particular chapter, we should understand that transformation is the process of a lifetime. We should make the decision to allow Christ to transform our minds, confess any sin in our life. You know, sometimes people they do something that is terrible, and it's wrong, and it's a large sin, something that they've done that people find out about and they're embarrassed, and they confess and get it right. But you know, sometimes we have small sins in our lives too. Sins that nobody knows about but us and God. And we need to pray and ask His forgiveness. It could be anything that we do that is not really important as far as great sins. It's a small sin, but we need to confess it also. Determined to remain pure in our thought life and in our actions and so forth. And so what this lesson is about is the transformation in process. The transformation in is personal, and it is practical. So let's start with it. Here we find it in your book there. And so let's the process of transformation. Lesson 2. Romans 12, 2. I've already read that and or quoted that for you and so forth. Change is inevitable. We'll go through it over the course of our lives. Some people like change. Others have a hard time adapting to change. And it could be when you get saved, getting out of the old life into the new life, or it could be taking a new job and you just can't get used to it. You just hate it. You just don't like it. You wish you had your old job back, or it could be anything. But it's something that we need to realize it's hard in adapting. I think that could be a compliment, or not a compliment, but that could be something that it's always hard to adapt to new things. When you move across the country, when you move out in the country, when you move into town, when you go to work for the first time, you have to adapt. That simply means that we're to be what the Lord would have us to be, and so forth. And we can't stay in elementary school forever. Now, I know some kids that could stay in high school forever, but they're going to have to get out one day or the other, one time or the other, and so forth. But a lot of things change. Our bodies will not remain young and youthful anymore. I know there's some of us in here that our back aches when we get up in the morning. And if we're fortunate, it'll quit hurting after about an hour. And sometimes our feet will hurt. You know, we just walk and we'll, or whatever. And sometimes our leg, we'll have a leg ache. Sometimes we'll have a headache. I'm talking about growing older. Kids don't have that problem. I mean, they jump out of bed, and now they don't jump out of bed if it's school. If it's in the summertime, they do. But in the school time, their mama has to make them get up sometimes, whatever it might be. But we can't stay in elementary school forever. And we have to realize that in the world we live in, there's technology changes and social changes and government changes and friends change sometimes. And people that we had confidence in, we've lost it because of things that they have said and done. Every Christian has areas of their life that should be changed after we accept God's gift of salvation and become part of His family. We call this process sanctification or transformation. Those are good words. They're big words, but that's what it is, sanctified. Being like the Lord and transformed, being changed from one life to another life. The moment we get saved, we're infants in Christ. We might be 50 years old, but we're infants in Christ if that's when we get saved. And as we grow in Christ, He wants us to develop continually in our walk with Him and so forth. And we need to realize that the desires that we had is not always the things that we're supposed to have as a Christian. We are to feast on the meat of the Word. That's the Bible. Read your Bible. And He wants us to mature to change. Now, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 through 14, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." That's the first thing you have to learn. Is the Word of God. "And become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe," in Christ that is. "For strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those that for reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So, you know, maybe I think the first verse I learned was John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." But why is this transformation of being a babe and then growing up into maturity so important? It's important because through the process of change, we come to know Him in a deeper way. We come to know the Lord. The Lord means more to us than it did when we first got saved. We accepted Him as our Savior, and we thought of Him as being in heaven and looking down upon us and judging us and all that sort of thing. But then we realize He walks with us day by day. He's our Savior. He's the one that saved us. Saved us from what? Saved us from hell. That's where we deserve to go. But when we put our faith and trust in Him, He eliminates that part. And that's why we need to realize that He loves us that much. We need to have close fellowship with God and find joy. There's joy in finding Jesus. So whether we like change or not, this is the transformation that we needed in our lives. Now, transformation is a process. It's a process. Let me just ask you all a question. You don't have to answer it out loud, or you can say something if you want to, but have you ever had a room in your house that you remodeled and renovated and so forth? And did it take a long time, or did you do it in a short time, or what? How long did it take to completely redo it? And, you know, so it looks brand new. You know, sometimes it takes a few days, sometimes it takes a few weeks, sometimes it takes a few months, and sometimes people never get finished with what they're starting as far as their house is concerned or something like that. Now, our boys completely rebuilt our middle bathroom in the hall. And boy, does it look nice. It looks brand new. And it didn't take them that long. But when Mama was using my bathroom, I thought they needed to hurry up and get done. But nonetheless, they got done, and it's really nice. And it didn't take all that long. But sometimes people will start out on a project, and have you ever seen a house that was never finished? Any kind of thing, you know, like that. But we are not immediately transformed to be just like Christ. The process is of beginning. It's called sanctification. We're sanctified because we're His. And that will go throughout our life. Unlike the physical growth, we never get to a point where we stop growing spiritually. You can be 15 and start growing spiritually, and you can still be growing spiritually if you get to be 90. And I doubt whether I'll make 90, but I'm glad I made 80. So anyway, nonetheless, we can grow in His will and in His way. God's work will be finished. As the Bible tells us that He will begin when He begins a good work in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's important to exercise patience towards our brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes we meet people and they say, well, I hadn't been saved long. And every once in a while, a bad word will come out of their lips, or they'll do something that the Lord uses sometimes when they do those things to get them back in the traces, you know, and they'll confess. They'll come forward and they'll pray and they'll say, I did something wrong and I shouldn't have done it. But that's the Holy Spirit working in their life. But as they get older and older as a Christian, then those things pass away. But thank the Lord, we're a work in progress when we get saved. And so we need to consider some things. First of all, here in your lesson, in fact, transformation is a process. I forgot to tell you that. That's point number one. It's a process. All right, here's A. Don't ever quit. Quit is the word that you don't have. And so sometimes when we've been saved for a long time, it seems that we're surrounded by people who've been walking with the Lord decades. And we're not as spiritual as they are in our own estimation and so forth. So we need to get our besetting sins out of the way and our habits out of the way that God's not pleased with. And we shouldn't let discouragement stop us from growing where we ought to be, the kind of Christian that God wants us to be. Don't allow Satan to cause you to doubt God's care and God's Word. Sometimes we have things happen in our lives and we wonder why, especially a young Christian. And they don't know why things aren't. They think when they get saved, everything's going to be perfect. And that's not the case. We're still human, just like everybody else. We're just human as the lost people are. The only difference is we're saved and we have the Christian life to live by. And that's a wonderful thing. And so we ought not to compare our spiritual journey to the spiritual journey of a mature Christian if we're just saved. 2 Corinthians 10:12 said, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number of or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." So don't compare yourself to somebody else. Compare yourself, if you're going to do anything, to the Word of God and to Jesus, and do what He wants you to do. Perhaps we're not bothered by the spiritual success of others, but we are bothered by our own lack of progress. And so we need to just get on our knees and ask the Lord to help us. We shouldn't quit. We ought to never give up. Never give up as a Christian. You can rest assured that God will work in you if you will allow Him to do that. He'll do it. He wants us to be on His team. And He wants us to be the best Christian we can be. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So that means when Jesus is coming again. And thank God for that. We can be confident of this very thing, that He which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When God begins to work in your life, He'll do it forever. And that's what we need to realize in that verse. And we should never be satisfied. Point B, don't ever be, and the line says, satisfied. That's point B. One of the most dangerous places for a Christian to be in the Christian life is the point of satisfaction. Don't ever just be satisfied. You know, there's a lot of people that get saved, and they're so excited about being saved, and they don't miss church at all. And after a few weeks or a few months, they start missing on Sunday, Wednesday nights, and then they start missing on Sunday nights, and then they miss revivals and all this sort. What's happened? Well, they're satisfied now that they're saved, and they let other things step in and take over. I realize there are circumstances in our life that cause us to miss church once in a while. And when I say once in a while, I don't mean a few times this year. I mean just when you can't help it. Sometimes it's a death in the family, and you have to be traveling when church is going on, and all that sort of thing. There's lots of things, and we could name them. But we don't need to be satisfied. It's easy for those that know the Lord for many years to develop a mentality of figuring things out. But transformation is a process. It never ends. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Don't ever be satisfied. Look at it now. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, for that which is that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's putting Him first. That's putting the Word of God first. That's trying to do the very best you can. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Someone said one time, they were reading it, and they said, but grow in grace. I don't want grease. I want good food. But anyway, grow in grace. Don't ever be overwhelmed. That's point number C. And we'll get through this point at least. But Philippians 4, verse 13. And this is what it says. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Although God promised that He would do the work in us, that's Philippians 1, 6. It tells us here in Philippians 1, 6. Where did I read it? Did I already read it? Philippians 1:6. Anyway, in Philippians 1:6, I'll turn in my Bible and look at it. I know. Somebody got it? Page 14 on the bottom. Okay, let me find. I'm not using page 14. Here it is. Being confident of this very thing, which he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I think I've already read it. But anyway, he never promised that transformation would be easy. Trials will come. Satan will tempt us. Sometimes they even go back to our own sinful life. Maybe a preacher disappointed some church member that hadn't been a Christian very long, and they just quit church. That's not the thing to do. And so what we need to do is pray for that preacher, and if you just can't stay in that church, find another good church. We only have one independent Baptist church, Fundamental Baptist Church here in town, so you can't leave. You got to stay. And you may have to run the preacher off, but we won't do that with Noah, not at least for now. Anyway, I hope nobody's recording this. We're not going to run him off. We're going to tie him up if he tries to run off. Okay, trials will come, and Satan will tempt us to go back to our sinful ways. While God didn't promise the trials wouldn't come, he did promise us strength. And so thank the Lord. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So it's time to stop, and we'll start with number 2 this next Sunday. We may take an extra week over the year to finish up the book, because I wanted to finish that up. So that's where we'll start on point number 2. Transformation is personal, and that's what our lesson will be next Sunday. And I may get, well, I should get a couple of them done. Maybe I'll finish it off. Let's see. I think I can finish it next Sunday. We'll try anyway. And then we'll go into the next lesson. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for the things that we've learned today. And I pray that you'd help us as we study for this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.